You may call it your fatal attraction. In 1987, there was a film of that name. For Dan, life was good. He was on the rise at his New York law firm. He was happily married to his wife Beth and had a loving daughter. But after a casual fling with the book editor Alex, everything changed. Jilted by Dan, Alex became unstable, her behaviour escalating from aggressive pursuit to obsessive stalking. Dan realised that the main problem was not hiding the affair, but rather saving himself and his family. The film shows just how dangerous sin in the wrong context can be. To be clear, I'm not recommending this film, I've never seen it. You may be pleased to know it is an 18 by all accounts. But it does give us an example of how we can fall into temptation and how devastating an impact that can have on our lives. So this morning we're continuing our series of talks on the theme becoming more like Jesus. We've already considered how we are free to serve God, how we must acknowledge Jesus as Lord, and what is the cost of our commitment. And today, you've probably guessed it already, we're looking at resisting temptation. Temptation isn't a word probably in our everyday vocabulary. So let's go back to basics and see how temptation is defined in the concise Oxford Dictionary. Perhaps surprisingly, it is not found many times in the Bible, in any form. Only 42 times in the NIV, and only 29 times in the Message, if you follow that. I was very surprised. Temptation is therefore implicitly hidden away, and not right there in our faces, in much of our lives. It's important to distinguish between temptation and sin. Temptation is the attraction to do wrong, whereas sin is actually doing wrong. Does that make sense? Try and make it simple. I need it to be simple for me. So let's look at our reading this morning to help us understand this more. The context is of a young man chosen by God, who many of us would, at first sight, not have described as blessed. We may have just said that Joseph was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But this was part of God's plan to save his people. And Joseph shows us that with God's help, any situation can be used for good, even when others intend it for bad. Genesis 39 tells us four times that the Lord was with Joseph, and as a result, the Lord brought blessing to and through Joseph. Verse 3 we read, when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Blessing became as a result of God's love, not on merit, and came about not because of comfort or convenience or circumstance, but because of Joseph's relationship with God. Even through rejection by his family and slavery, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was learning that God could be trusted. And so Joseph himself became a trustworthy person. Blessing and the presence of God is revealed in the behaviour of the believer. But Joseph was still a slave, owned by Potiphar, to be used however his master required, and without the right for personal moral values. Joseph was, like me, well-built and handsome. I was expecting a better laugh than that one. Potiphar's wife saw this, and she instructed Joseph as her slave in verse 7, "Come to bed with me." And this continued day after day, even though Joseph tried to distance himself from Potiphar's wife. Joseph's response to temptation was consistent and is a wonderful example to us. He refused, he avoided, he ran away. His response was based on his relationship with God. We read in verse 9, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph knew that God's standards were unchangeable, even in the context of his slavery. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, we read, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." And what strikes me in that verse is the two key words are both active words, flee and pursue. And that made me think that we fall perhaps more into temptation when we are inactive in our relationship with God. Joseph loved his God and looked to him to suppress the desire to sin. Temptation is tough. William Barclay, a 20th century theologian, wrote, "Temptation is not meant to make us fail. It is meant to confront us with a situation out of which we emerge stronger than we are. Temptation is not meant to make us sin. It is meant to enable us to conquer sin. It is not meant to make us bad. It is meant to make us good. It is not meant to weaken us. It is meant to make us emerge stronger and finer and purer from the ordeal. Temptation is not the penalty of being human. Temptation is the glory of being human. Temptation is the test which comes to everyone whom God wishes to use." One hard saying of Jesus that relates to temptation is this: "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if the eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." The phrase there, "causes you to sin," in the NIV it says "causes you to stumble," and in the Message, "gets in God's way." But it's all the same thought. That's a hard passage to read and to understand and to think about. And I'm not a clever theologian, so I listen to other people who help us to understand. So here are some words from John Stott on his commentary. "The command to get rid of troublesome eyes, hands, and feet is an example of our Lord's use of dramatic figures of speech. What he was advocating was not a literal physical self-maiming, but a ruthless moral self-denial. To reject sinful practices so resolutely that we die to them or put them to death. So if your eye causes you to sin because temptation comes to you through your eyes, objects you see, then pluck out your eyes. That is, don't look. behave as if you had actually plucked out your eyes and flung them away and were blind and so could not see the objects which you previously caused you to sin. Again, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, because temptation comes to you through your hands, things you do, or your feet, places you visit, then cut them off. That is, don't do it. Don't go. Behave as if you had actually cut off your hands and feet and had flung them away and now were crippled and so could not do the things or visit the places which previously caused you to sin. Temptation usually comes in through a door that we have deliberately left open. Temptation can cause real havoc in our lives. Let me show you how this might work for me. Margaret would tell you, I am meant to be losing weight. But I love chocolate. Particularly white chocolate. Exhibit A. So when this new version of a Twix came out with white chocolate very recently, well, the temptation was very great. And I expect you will have your own similar story to this. There are no white Twixes in our house at the moment, Margaret. They are here. There are none in our house at all. But I start thinking about Twix whites. I'll go for a walk, but I won't go anywhere near the village store because that's where the Twix whites are. Actually, I'll walk past the village store, but still not go in. Actually, no, I'm going to go into the village store, but I won't go anywhere near where the Twix whites are. Actually, no, no. I think I'll go just nearby the Twix whites, just, you know, have a look, but not pick them up. Well, it's so difficult, isn't it? I'm going to pick them up, and I'm going to have a look, and I'm going to sniff even the... Oh, I can smell it even through the... Oh. But I won't buy it. So what do? I go and buy my Twix whites. Have you got a story like that in your life? What's your weak link? I'll leave those for later. Back to Joseph again. Joseph's response to temptation was consistent and a wonderful example to us. Three things. He refused, he avoided, he ran away. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear it up patiently against it. Temptations we face are not new or different, and none are irresistible. God can provide the strength to resist temptation if only we want him to. I read in my Bible reading notes this week, even the best of us are prone to temptation. But how well we rise after falling will depend on the strength of our relationship with the Lord. Like marriage, such a relationship needs nurturing through prayer, Bible reading, accountability and support through the community of believers, and a faithful walk in the small daily tasks. So to become more like Jesus, we must resist temptation. And God promises that he will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that we can't stand up against it. Like Joseph, we should refuse, avoid, and run away. So do you ever really think about temptation? Do you know what your temptation weak spot is? And what are you going to do to resist temptation going forward? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you promise to keep temptation from becoming so strong that we can't stand up against it. You will show us the way to escape temptation's power. When temptation comes our way, help us to look to Jesus and to refuse, to avoid, and to run away from temptation. Amen.
Endeth my way. In the second verse, though Satan should buffet, if trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Let's stand and sing, "It is well with my soul."